And but those are all things that I'll manage to get through. What I have right now on my plate is a profound sadness. And yes, I can certainly go, God is. Does that feel good? To think God is, and I'll just stop there because that's the highest level I know of, and everything's great. And I'm not there, and my wife's not there, and the sadness isn't there, and Ross isn't there, and the Zoom group isn't there. And what good is that doing my sadness at the moment?
Where
How do
the
I eat
smart.
it? How do I make this practical and useful in this moment? God isn't cutting it.
I agree completely. It's not very useful in your day-to-day life. Correct.
Yes.
And this is where I seem to be in my day-to-day life.
These are fighting words to your day-to-day life, if that is indeed your life. And it is. For most of us, we're.
I can't, you know, what do? Just not get out of bed and go, God is?
Well, no. Remember, there is no level, there's no difficulty that you can have in a body that cannot be addressed by the things we're studying here. So I love your confidence in questioning it. And that is really great, actually, for tonight's paragraph as well. So Tim's posing to the group. He says, you know, I can reach these happy, holy thoughts. I can't, he can. I know he can. He says, but that's not helping this. I'm drowning in sadness lately.
Been there.
And then,
tonight, right? Been there.
Yeah.
Oh, we got a couple nods going on here where the world was kind of overwhelming with its immediacy, sadness. For some people, it's physical pain. Don, what do you got?
I just wanted to, you know, before you spoke, Tim, and I appreciate you sharing like that, and I certainly can relate, totally. This past week, actually, yeah, just I've had just extreme rage a few times, and with Michelle there. Well, seemingly. But anyway, I've been on the lessons 151, 152, 153. I have 153 today. So I've been practicing, you know, the hourly, and I did my morning practice. I just had, I would say, just a wonderful moment of grace, and where I had an interaction this afternoon with Michelle. I came into the kitchen, and Michelle likes to chatter, really. Just, you know, what's ever on her mind, you know? Well, how I've handled that in the past is a variety of feelings, but getting into a reaction of some sort and trying to exercise patience and even intellectually trying to turn it over, if you will, to give it up to Holy Spirit to judge. But today I think I was particularly fortified by my kind of cultivation of the studies, you know, cultivating them and having a heart feelings and stuff like that. And so anyway, so she starts chattering about something, and I sat there and I felt myself just, I don't even think I started at, I just found myself feeling very peaceful and actually just enjoying being there in her presence, just being there. And I don't remember even what she was talking about. I'm sure it was not anything we had to decide anything. It wasn't significant in that way. But the way I always tried to before is like, okay, she's asking for love, or, you know, I was doing all these kind of intellectual gyrations. This time, I just felt kind of this grace of that. Oh my God, it felt so good in this just banal, really, interaction. I mean, you know, was not. It was just beautiful. And then, you know, I came down. This is much later at dinner time. and I'm helping, we're putting dinner together and all that kind of stuff. And what's on Michelle's mind a lot is Trump and Ukraine and the killings and what the police did and all this kind of stuff. And she starts rolling that out. And this is a common thing that happens at dinner time or eating. Like, okay. I guess what I didn't do is I paid attention to my reactions and feelings. But at some point, I just closed my eyes and I took this really deep breath. And I just kind of welcomed in that feeling I'm familiar with. And Michelle stopped talking for a little bit. And then we went on to eat and stuff. So I guess what I'm saying is I feel like a real novitiate, if you will, in this new, really for me, this that banal, peaceful, loving experience I had was really a new thing. And I'm so grateful for it. But on the other hand, I just realized it's a very tender tendril, if you will.
And also I want you to recognize that the more times you're able to make this choice for peace during chaos, you're actually training your mind just like you train a muscle, and it gets stronger. And your familiarity with the chance of having peace during chaos gets more real and more often and more expected. And this is, for me, I just watched this over the years build stronger and stronger to where now I think I am actually addicted to peace. I go right to it. Like, well, let me just start with peace. That's where I'm going to go anyway. And then I'll deal with the details as I go along. It's just a better way to go.
And what I will say is that for me, I'm well versed in several decades of practicing the course with my ego, taking credit, and so.
Yeah, for all the good ideas.
for all the good ideas. And it's just incredible understanding of things and why I could sure explain it to you and all that. And I guess you might say it worked for a while, but the thing is, I have to be very, very careful about intellectualization. Very, very careful, because it can be a real, the good news is it can be re-scintillating, actually.
Yep.
But the bad news is, because it's ego, it can be very vicious.
Bingo.
Essentially towards me. It may look like it's towards her or them, but it's towards me. So
in the course in around page 107 or so, it talks about the lessons of the Holy Spirit. And one of them is be vigilant only for God and his kingdom. But it's not look for God. It's be vigilant not to follow your ego.
And protecting God and his kingdom.
And what you're doing is not following the ego. You don't have to look for God. What is all-encompassing doesn't need to be looked for. In fact, if you look for God, you're liable to make a substitute, an idol, that you can find. The truth is, when something is true, it is more present than any other effort you could make.
And you're looking for it, in a sense, can cause objectification. And actually, you're looking with the ego.
You're looking with the ego because if you're looking for it, it means you believe you don't have it. It means it's not present. So one of the vectors of A Course in Miracles is the ego sense of lack. It's just built into the existence of this world. It's not true. But boy, are we steeped in it and addicted to it. And so the ego, naturally, if you ask the ego, hey, get me out of trouble, ego. Ego, find me happiness. Ego, get rid of my sadness. Ego, get rid of my anger. The first thing the ego is going to say is, all right, well, let me get right on that. And I will give you something loving to say. I'll give you something loving to think. I will give you some sweetness to try to make this situation better. But A Course in Miracles takes the tact that you have built a, calls it a veil, calls it clouds, it's a wall. You have built a block with the scenario, the way you're thinking about it, and love. Right now, with whatever it is you see as a problem.
Yeah.
And so it's in fact an undoing, not a doing. I say it's easier to undo anything than to try to make sure you do something that works.
So this deep sadness that I'm feeling is my fault.
Oh, dear.
Well, you say fault, and that's a story right there. This, but I know what you mean. I know what you mean. I'm just gonna dice your words really carefully here. So go ahead. You I know what you mean. Tell me more.
Well, okay. So there's. I hear you guys talking, and I've been high without drugs before. You know, meaning Course in Miracles, right? So I know where you're coming from. In fact, that's my usual state.
Mm-hmm.
That said, there was this great movie called As Good as It Gets. Jack Nicholson, Greg Kinnear. And at one point, Jack does something nice for Greg, who plays a gay man. And Greg Kinnear gets to move into his apartment because he needs a place. And he goes to Jack Nicholson, I love you, man. And Jack looks at Greg and he goes, I tell you, if that did it for me, I would be the world's happiest man. You know, I'd be the happiest man in the world. All right, so I hear all the words coming out of your mouth, and I can even remember feeling exactly the same way, and that's not doing jack for what I'm sensing. Well,
Tim, that's good. That means that the situation you're going through has gone past your BS. Your teacher has given you a reasonable exam. A reasonable problem to solve. The core, A Course in Miracles is finally now at this point with this divorce issue and with this level of sadness that you have experienced. It's just brought you a lesson worthy of you.
I just kept thinking, okay, I won't respond to any nastiness.
Hold on now. Before we go to any solution space, let's go to where you started with, which was you said it was your fault.
Right. Okay.
And I just want to say,
I only tried better or was more skillful.
Yeah, right. No, if that was a, no. Of course not. Because if you could have tried better, you would have. Everybody wants to be happy. So forget that line of thinking right now. It's not your fault. However, it is getting your cooperation. In other words, it is your choice, the sadness. You feel, you believe with your whole, your body, you, all of you, because that sadness must be, and I must take the next step in feeling it. I just want to have you, of course, see that without your cooperation, you could not go as deep or as long in any direction, happiness or sadness. Just make sure that, right?
I'm okay with that.
Good. And please, as much as you're willing to talk about this, this is a great thing for tonight's work. Ross, what do you got?
So I just wanted to confess that although I know all this stuff, I have the tools and everything else, I still, as Tim is now, I still go into sadness. The difference is with the tools and with the course, it doesn't last as long.
Bravo!
That's the miracle of the course.
Yes.
I do these stupid things. You know, I go into sadness. I go into anger. I go into all these states. It just doesn't last as long because pounding myself with the tools of the course and listening to what I say is, well, it's Jesus. Jesus talks to me because I know this book very well. And he says, hey, no, despair, sadness, no, these are things of the ego. And eventually I come around and do what the course tells me. And yeah, you know, it's hard. You know, you're sick, for example.
Yeah.
And I wallow in sickness. But, you know, somewhere in the back of my mind, it's like, okay, this too shall pass. You know, this is a game of the ego or, you know, whatever it is.
And on almost any page you open to during your troubles, you'll find this, not only this is the ego, but this is not you. This assurance from Jesus giving you kind of a hug through the pages, saying, I know what you're feeling seems real to you. But you are not that which can suffer.
Yeah, but I do it anyway, right? And I go, you know, here's the relationship. It's going south, you know, and I'm feeling like, oh, no, this person's going to be out of my life. And
yeah,
eventually I come around and go, okay, well, guess I better open the course. And I don't want to, you know, it's, what do you do?
Yeah.
What else are you going to do?
Oh, yeah. I in the early days, I was too busy with being upset to go to the course.
Right. Oh, that's me too. I don't want the damn course. I want to wallow in my upset.
I was just,
whatever.
I had to process, right? I had to figure this out. You know, and eventually I'll do my course tomorrow.
But we both know better, right?
Yeah, we know better now.
Don't look.
There was a time, though, when I would just say, you know, the course can wait till my normal morning reading. But for now, I'm just going to figure out what the problem is here. You know, I would just completely deny course until, you know, it had its little compartment in my life. For I loved course from the beginning, but I really loved my ego, too. My ego is, you know. But
no better, and I do it anyway, I guess.
All I want to say is that Ross, your pattern is healthy. You made the report that I would also make the same reports where my difficulties got shorter. They were still there, but they got shorter, thank God. And pretty soon, you know, after a while, I began to turn to course. When I recognized I had a problem, that I would apply to course, even if it was tomorrow. It took me a while to get there, even to get there. I didn't think about course at all. I was just mad or sad or whatever it was. But, you know, after enough years and, you know, and knowing that it's right here in the book, for me to say it took years to get here, it's like, why didn't you pay more attention when you read it the first 14 times? But anyway, that's what happened.
I have a question of Tim.
Me too.
I just want to summarize, though, that the cycle continued to get shorter, and then it got shorter by large amounts, okay? First, it got shorter by little amounts, and I thought, oh, good. You know, I feel some relief, and it was course that pulled me out of it. But then it began to get shorter by half, and then by half again, and then by minutes. These terrible things would pop in my head and my body would respond and the hormones would flow and the thoughts would occur. But then I would take a few breaths and it's like back to peace. I mean, I'm telling you, that was, what a fantastic reward. And Ross, you're just describing it perfectly to me. That is, you know, it's there. You know, you've got these tools. You are familiar with them enough. In fact, one of the things I did, who knows? It could be 15 years ago, plus pandemic years, that I recorded just the lesson titles. Not even the whole lesson, right? Just the lesson titles. And I would drill those while I was driving to and from work, because those lesson titles read like a lecture of the highest thinking, instructing me with the Holy Spirit's language. So anybody here can have it for free. If you want the audio, just send me an email and I'll send you a link to download and you put it on your phone or the CDs. I got tons of CDs in the attic. Nobody wanted to buy. So they're called the Lesson Title Drill. And anybody can have that CD or MP3. It's yours for free. Okay. What do you got?
So,
Don. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know if this is a helpful question, Tim. But when you say you feel it's your fault, what's saying that to you?
Oh, I have a be perfect driver. I was the first of four boys, two educators growing up, and so they always set an example. And then, you know, I was, I really took that hook, line, and sinker, and have lived my life by it. And so, if there's something that's not going well between Sharon and I, and then that means that I need to be doing something more skillfully than I am now. Maybe I need to not talk. Maybe I need to speak differently. Maybe I need to, you know, do more yard work.
I would like to make a swift suggestion. If you want to do something, then do the Manual for Teachers, pages 9 through 14. The 10 characteristics of the teacher of God. These are the 10 characteristics of love. How would you deal with your wife, even if you guys are going to go through throes of divorce and there's nothing you can do about it?
I can't stop it.
Well, then I would say you would find a way to go through it peacefully and lovingly.
Sounds good to me.
And a guide to be peaceful and loving, practical now, is listed for you with 10 characteristics in the Manual for Teachers. And let me tell you, it's only one or two paragraphs for each of these 10, except for trust, which is like 2.5 pages. But that's because it gets to the metaphysics of.
Can I just finish what I was trying to communicate with Tim? So, Tim, when I asked you what is telling you that, I would say the what is your ego, and you're trusting it. You're believing it. That's the core.
What do I have to do to be better in order to avoid this pain or more skillful? That what?
Yeah, that what is your ego? That's the content of your ego. And you talked about the whole practicing of that throughout your life and your explanation.
Be perfect driver, right. You don't get into medical school and then get out the other side unless you've got one hell of a be perfect driver.
Yeah. So it's just, I guess I'm just saying, I understand, you know, my ego seems to be my best friend most of the time, whether it's hating me or loving me. But it's not, there's no solution there. And so I was just trying to help you maybe ask the question, hey, why should I believe this story and this, the thing that's run my whole life and not worked? You know, that's not who you are. So
I like what Don just said. There's no solution there.
Yeah, there's no solution there, and it's not who you are.
Well, he's entirely right. There wasn't. The day I graduated medical school, I still found reasons to be sad. I was there. I had the cap on. Everybody's going, woo-hoo, congratulations, Tim. And I'm going, gee, I could have graduated summa cum laude. I didn't realize that was available, you know, and I still found reasons where I could have done it better instead of, you know, here it is, this supposedly high point event of my life. And what am I doing? I'm looking at ways that I wish I had done it better instead of being, you know, like, wow, I really did it. Congratulations, and feeling good about who I was.
Yep. That's how the ego works in the
story.
Andrew,
I have a question because I can't reference it, but I think you can because I know the locations. But the part where Jesus is saying this tiny little speck that thinks it's you or that you think you are it, you know, that and that's the little speck.
The drop of water in the ocean or the mote of sun against the, or, you know, the sunbeam against the entire sun. Is that the reference you are?
I don't know exactly. Yeah. It's just that's what, when you keep using the word I as if that's who you are. I should have done this. I could have done this. If I'd have known summa cum laude was available, I should have done that, and so on. And that I that keeps talking is the same I that's hating on you right now.
I need to forgive myself for not understanding.
One of the gifts of A Course in Miracles is the biggest miracle there is the shift in identity. The shift in identity.
if there was an identity, I feel most accurately represents me. It's a drive to understand.
There's a shift in identity coming to anybody who's studying A Course in Miracles. It's a natural shift. It's very personal. Nobody can do it for you. It can't happen to you. There's a shift in identity coming, and it's all over the book as you approach and you approach this transfiguration. Another word for the crucifixion and the resurrection is the transfiguration. There's a shift in identity coming to anybody studying A Course in Miracles and staying at it, because A Course keeps taunting you and teasing you to make this personal, very personal, which is why I can't just point it out for you, very personal discovery of not who you are, but what you are. Who you are is in the dream of characters and the ego, and it's not a sin. In fact, it's very rich, but it's not true. What you are is free. Who you are is not and cannot be free. Doesn't want to be free. Wants to be obligated in love, doesn't it? Hasn't it tried so hard? The who you are, it's tried very hard to be obligated in love in the sweetest way.
My lesson just a few days ago was, and you've all done it, today I accept myself as what my Father created me to be.
Something. Nice, Don. Woo! Talk about a high lesson.
Which what I think you're right that God is, right? You're an extension. I am.
Yep.
You could say God is and then stop saying, or you could just say I am.
You know this is true, Tim.
And for me, it's a feeling. It's sure there's intellectual understanding to some extent, yeah, but it's the feeling that I can let go to in that, of the truth of that and the safety of that.
And that you're willing to look at what you have been denied when you're doing the ego game, willing to look at it now because that feeling that you had is the truth. That there's, as God created you, is the truth, and as you've made yourself, is not. And you're willing now to look at what you've denied, because what you found is the truth. And you really don't care what the denial ego game will either give or take, because you found the truth, which is giving already, and you're not even sure what it is.
Well, you know, and it's, I'm at the stage, if you will. I'm not at the stage of having had a direct experience of what I am. That is to say, one that's common and repeatable and maybe understandable. I don't know about that. But now, and it's the question, the last question, those three questions.
Four, yeah.
The fourth question.
Yep. Yep.
This is what you get when you, and this you can't turn back from.
Yep.
But when you're willing to do that and you really get that.
Yes.
Well, there's no turning back. And that sounds so scary. Like, what am I going to not turn back from? But the truth is, it's just so sweet and peaceful. The little feeling I had.
A little bit
of
light.
And if I could have that all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
My idea of myself, in order to have it all the time, I wouldn't have this same idea of myself that I seem to have now.
This is what hooked me with Course in Miracles, Don.
Yeah.
I got a taste of that drug and I'm just going back for more.
Yeah.
More and more peaceful, more and more light, give me more and more understanding, more and more compassion, more patience, more trust, became more honest. I became instantly more tolerant. I was more gentle in my life. joyfulness just begin to be the default state.
It's not about trying. It's not about trying to be more gentle or trying to be more kind. It certainly is not about trying at all.
Look at page 338, paragraph 6. To be have us reminded of the nature of our love that we would value so much.
Don, thank you for investing in me just now. I cherish that quality about you and the nature of the interaction that just took place.
It's beautiful. So you got to repeat that, Tim. I think it's worthy.
I'm sorry. I had to run. I ran and got my book, Tim. What did you say?
Thank you for investing in me just now. I got a very real sense that you care for who I am and what I'm experiencing, and that you were fully present. You heard me, and then you shared your truth, and those are the elements of love at the high level. So thank you for being who you are at this very moment.
It takes one to know one.
Yeah.
and you know, Don, been there. He's facing his ego right now. And A Course in Miracles has found, given a few miracles along the way, found that he does not have to be the ego. Does not have to follow the ugliness, and he shared that beautifully.
But before we transition away, let me just share one thing and then I'll be quiet. The experience I've been having repeatedly for the last couple of months in a very visceral sense is one, Andrew, I shared with you privately, but it is that I now watch my own mind have no thoughts. So it seems to me that I'm thinking. I'm lying in bed in the morning and I'm doing what I call lucid dreaming, meaning I'm half awake, half asleep. There's nothing mystical about it. And I'm watching these strange, bizarre, daydreamy type thoughts come in. Some of them are comfortable, some of them aren't, whatever. And I just go, where did that thought come from? I can't imagine where that came from. It doesn't correspond to anything I'm aware of in my life. And there it was. And then by the time I'm finished having this internal dialogue about where did it come from, I can't even remember what the thought was. And it doesn't return. And I go, that is me not thinking while I'm assuming that I'm thinking. You would ask me, were you thinking? Oh, yeah. What about? Well, I can't remember it anymore, but I'm sure I was thinking. You know, I can remember the thinking. No. That wasn't thinking.
My meaningless thoughts are showing. Well,
that was my meaningless thoughts are showing me a meaningless world. Mm-hmm. You know, and so then it's like, well, would you prefer to be the driver or the passenger in this, wagon as it goes?
So imagine that same mind that was able to trick you into thinking it was thinking, even to the level of emotions, right? You were probably getting kind of worked up, then you got distracted, and you forgot what you were worked up about.
Anxiety, you know, whatever goes
on. You bet. It even walks you through that in chapter 31, the first few pages, as a wonderful exercise of just what you described, to look exactly at what you're thinking, what the problem is, and then it says, I even forgot what the problem was.
Well, you were kind enough to provide me with the references by text, and I went back and I read them all.
It's just.
I think you found some text and some workbook lessons both. Yeah,
gracious gifts. But imagine that mind would. Imagine if that mind that did that gymnastics was responsible for bringing you to love. That you'd have to weed your way back to love with that mind. Imagine the difficulty. And thank goodness it's just not the case.
So the sadness that was so heavy at the beginning of this that I barely dragged myself to sign in is now much reduced.
You're not alone, brother. We here are a whole bunch of love addicts and peace addicts that would love to be there with you and carry you back to the light. And thank you for joining us tonight. For sure.
Page what?
338. 338, paragraph 6. Let's just celebrate for a minute what your job is, what your task is. You do have a task. You do have a task. Let's see what it is. 338, paragraph 6. Luann, when you get there, would you read for us 338, paragraph 6? You know this paragraph.
Yeah, underlined two or three times. And my task is to read it. Your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all of the barriers within yourself that you have built against it. It is not necessary to seek for what is true, but it is necessary to seek for what is false. Every illusion is one of fear, whatever form it takes, and the attempt to escape from one illusion into another must fail. If you seek love outside yourself, you can be certain that you received hatred within and are afraid of it. Yet peace will never come from the illusion of love, but only from its reality.
Nice. So it's an undoing. You're looking for the errors. You're not looking for the truth. Truth is. To look for truth means that you don't have it. And this is not the right-minded pursuit of healing. The right-minded pursuit of healing is to stop doing ego, not to suddenly be holy. If you could suddenly be holy, you wouldn't need A Course in Miracles. You wouldn't need miracles. You wouldn't need forgiveness. You wouldn't need right-mindedness. You'd just be there. So I want to remind you again, miracles are not holy. Miracles only deal with unholiness. Miracles deal with sickness. That's where they're needed. And the Course in Miracles calls you separate, you the separated ones. If you're feeling sad, if you're feeling lonely, if you're feeling angry, if you're feeling mortal, if you're feeling small, you are one of the separated ones. Your thought of God who's invested in separation, way down the scale that I illustrated last week. So you found yourself. You just go up, as Ross was beautifully saying. You know you can go up. You've done it many times. You go up the ladder, the same ladder that the ego has brought you down. You go back up and you find your freedom. You find your strength that you need. A little miracle occurs because you remember wholeness instead of partiality just for a second. It's all it takes. That reminds me of something I want to say to Don. Because Don was beautifully describing that he found he was able somehow. He found he was able to have a little sense of relief from his ego. He would just take a breath and relax into peace rather than try to find peace with just the right words to wrap around his wife's neck. Instead, he just chose, and the peace filled in when he made space for it. Wasn't a lot, didn't last, but he's here to talk about it. And this is the power of the truth over illusions. Illusions are very powerful. They can block the truth. So you got to take them seriously. However, I'm going to make this up, okay? 1 second of the truth is worth a year of illusions. How's that? We got a lot of practice with illusions and very little exposure to the truth. But, oh, man, you take one sip of the truth, as Don was describing, it's like, if I can just remember that all the time. Isn't what he said? He said, if I could just stay there, he said, I wouldn't have this problem. This is what I think Dalai Lama touched on with compassion. Dalai Lama in Buddhism found that if you have compassion for the other, then you have patience, tolerance, you have the ability to be gentle, you have all these attributes of love show up if you just allow yourself not to attack and have a little compassion.
Isn't that true that about compassion for yourself when you say something that makes you feel bad?
Yep. Instantly. Only immediately. Only before you can even think it. Yeah.
This is, so I guess that what distinguishes this experience I've had from some other pretty phenomenal spiritual experiences was that this, it's established a reference point within, at the level of where I could actually breathe in.
Wow.
And I can feel that little piece there.
Wow.
You know, and again, like I said, at dinner time, I was back to.
Yeah. Bravo, Don. There's another place in the course where it says, when you have a holy instant, you better look at it. And you, my friend, are looking at it with us all.
Yeah, that's why I keep going to it, because it's just.
Go back to it, rehearse it in your mind, say, wait a minute, I was able to be at peace. You need to make room in this whole lifetime since you were born that has made more and more layers of contraction and reasons to be afraid or everything else. And now you found peace again. So you must practice this peace.
And I guess I think what's really important to me again is to, because I don't, if I want to take credit for it, like the little I, because it's at this point, that's really what's prominent. It doesn't work. What works is for me to, I had what I wanted to say. Just, it works to, it's surrender. It's not an accomplishment. Mm-hmm. It's a surrender.
Indeed. Indeed. It's an undoing. The work of A Course in Miracles is an undoing. There's a deeply habits built in, which is, we call the ego. We call it wrong-minded thinking or endarkenment. It's built in. It speaks first and it speaks loudest. You're now untraining your mind. Untraining your mind, which follows it by default. But like you hear Ross talking, his default starting to change. Still happens, but he doesn't quite follow it as long. Still strong. The juices are there. The thoughts are all preloaded from arguments he's had before or maybe practiced. And they may still squeak out, but man, they don't stick. They don't stay. He's preferring peace, which is a lot stronger for living this world, by the way. Peace is a lot stronger than war. Peace is stronger than anger. Peace is stronger than guilt and fear. They teach you this in the martial arts. They say, you better learn how to be peaceful when somebody says they're going to fight you. Otherwise, they know they're in a fight before you do, and you're going down. Like instant wisdom, how to avoid a black eye like Luann got somehow. I hope you gave him what he had coming to him, Luann. Whoever gave you that black eye.
It was not a he, it was a me.
Oh.
I fell down in the side of my head.
All right. I know, I fell down last week too. Oh, I think I broke or bent another rib, or at least bruised one. Aye.
Yeah, I have a bruised upper rib. Besides my face.
Yeah.
What was funny is yesterday my daughter called me and said, Mom, I want you to know I'm all right along with you. I just fell when I I fell down today when I was walking the dog. I said, Susan, don't ever do what I do.
Yeah, I was on my dirt bike. I was trying to go too slow and I fell over. Okay, now let's go into the text and have Jesus counsel us here, because we'll really set ourselves up nicely for some of this teaching, because everybody should have on the edge of your mind is, well, how do we enact the peace of God? How do we get out of the cycle of the ego when it shows up? when you're drowning in guilt or drowning in despair or drowning in worry or drowning in any of these things that are not perfectly, I think the word supremely, happy. What the heck, right? Dom was telling us, man, he found himself able to do it. I'm telling you, through my work with the, you know, Course in Miracles over the years, I seem to have taken the slow path because now I can look at it and see there was a faster way than I took. It's right here in the book. But, you know, you can only do what you do. You can only do it as much as quickly as you will personally afford it.
What?
So turn to page 472 in the text. 472. This is tonight's reading. Look at paragraph 4. Jacqueline, I got your mute. When you get there, would you read for us paragraph 4?
Reason will tell you that the only way to escape from misery is to recognize it and go the other way. Truth is the same and misery the same, but they are different from each other in every way, in every instance, and without exception. To believe that one exception can exist is to confuse what is the same with what is different. One illusion cherished and defended against the truth makes all truth meaningless and all illusions real. Such is the power of belief. It cannot compromise. And faith in innocence is faith in sin if the belief excludes one living thing and holds it out apart from its forgiveness.
Oh, boy. Did you see the fine print in the middle of that paragraph? Ross, would you read that same one back to Jacqueline? She was busy reading it perfectly.
All or nothing. Oh, you unmuted. Okay. Reason will tell you that the only way to escape from misery is to recognize it and go the other way. Truth is the same and misery the same, but they are different from each other in every way, in every instance, and without exception, all or nothing. To believe that one exception can exist is to confuse what is the same with what is different. One illusion cherished and defended against the truth makes all truth meaningless and all illusions real. Such is the power of belief. It cannot compromise. And faith in innocence is faith in sin. But the belief excludes one living thing and holds it out apart from its forgiveness.
Oh, more fine print! You cannot follow the false promises of your ego when it comes to punishing, justly punishing, for example. You can't, because the cost and consequence is much, much too large. So this is in the course, this phrase I'm about to give you. You must be reborn. You have already birthed yourself as a character struggling in a competitive world for happiness. Here's the quote. To forget your past is to be reborn and look upon the present without condemnation. That would take a miracle. That's exactly what you're up to. Some fine print in here. I'll point it out before I show you some more backup to this paragraph. First sentence one, reason will tell you that the only way to escape from misery, here it is, here it comes. He's about to give you the answer, whether you want it in more or fewer words. Here it comes. Recognize the misery. Step one. So he's not saying go into denial. He didn't say love. He did not saying love, did he? He doesn't say, hey, just be loving. No. He said recognize the misery and go the other way. go. Wake up in that moment and do the opposite of what your ego is telling you to do.
And Andrew?
Yes.
That would mean in the mind, go the other way in the mind.
Like, yes, not absolutely.
The physical world. Got it.
Absolutely. There's no answers in the world, Don.
Yeah.
Very good. Good clarification.
Need to do that because I'm going to a memorial service for a friend who committed suicide last year. Mm-hmm. And I go, oh my God, I guess there's still some misery there. And, oh, am I going to go to that service? Well, now I got it. It's not about the service.
You bet.
It's in my mind still.
Yep. This is all about your mind and about you choosing wholeness and happiness.
Yeah.
And not sickness for you or for that person. Yes, Luann.
I was just going to, you just answered the question I had. It says go the other way. What do you know? The other way is to choose holiness and happiness.
Yes, that's correct. In that situation, what you want to do is if the ego's telling you this is broken, then you look and say, is that so? Holy Spirit, show me how this is not broken. And every time, your answers will get shorter and shorter from the Holy Spirit. They will say, this isn't broken. This is what the world does. What world do you think you're living in? Says the Holy Spirit to me. But the Holy Spirit, I thought it was all loving and it was going to last forever. Holy Spirit says, what lasts forever in this world? I go, oh yeah. I would laugh with the Holy Spirit. I went the other way. Something I thought would last forever didn't. And the Holy Spirit says, no, that's right. What you thought it would? No, that's not the world you built. That's not the stage you're on, Andrew. That's not the game you're in. The sooner you recognize that, the more fun you'll have here. The world doesn't become perfectly loving and comforting for you and still be the world as you know it.
As the Holy Spirit knows it, it can be.
The Holy Spirit knows the world the same way you, poor ego sap, you do. He just knows the differences. He knows that it's not true. He doesn't believe it. You do believe it.
Yeah, but in not believing it, love can be perceived there.
All right, time to go to page 445. Page 445, introduction. It's only back about 20 pages or so. Yeah, Don. Calling you out just a little bit because you gave me the opportunity to go to one of my favorite passages. But you're like in the zone tonight, buddy. So this is you're gonna love this, I think. In fact, it's time for Tim. Tim, I got your mute. Would you read for us page 445, paragraph 1?
Okay.
Introduction.
Coming up.
The first sentence is only three words, but it's an entire teaching. Projection makes perception. Do you see the circle? Projection makes perception. Do you see the circle? You ready, Tim?
Yeah. Projection makes perception. The world you see is what you gave it. Nothing more than that. But though it is no more than that, it is not less. Therefore, to you, it is important. It is the witness to your state of mind, the outside picture of an inward condition. As a man thinketh, so does he perceive. Therefore, seek not to change the world, but choose to change your mind about the world.
And if that's what you're saying, Don, you're right on target. Even though there's death, even though there's suicide, even though there's going to be auto crashes and every day in this country, there's like an inch per hour of people shooting each other. It's just amazing. All of these things have to be translated. Not that you would change the world, but if you change your mind about the world and understand it as it is, you can come to peace. You can see how there's an effort for happiness and love, even in murder.
Yeah, wait till he gets to sentence 10.
All right, keep going, Tim.
Perception is a result and not a cause. And that is why order of difficulty in miracles is meaningless. Everything looked upon with vision is healed and holy. Nothing perceived without it means anything. Oh, gee, I think I just had some experience with that. And where there is no meaning, there is chaos.
Chaos.
So perception requires two things. It requires, well, first of all, it has, you have to be in a binary world or believe you are. Okay. And you must have space and time, both of which are illusions. If there's no space, there's no place for any of this to be perceived within. If there's no time, then there's no change. And once again, no perception. Perception requires contrast. Contrast requires two of something and time for it to change relative one to the other.
Sounds like God is to me.
Well, wait a second.
Good reset, Ross.
Sounds like.
What did you say, Ross?
Time to press the God is button.
He's an engineer. He's an engineer.
You backed yourself into a logic corner.
So on eBay, you can order those. Yeah. You guys know Staples, the office goods store. They have that button that says "Easy" on it. Remember that from 5 or 10 years ago? Somebody got enterprising. You can order that on eBay. You can order any statement you want on a big red button. And I think Ross needs ones that says "God is." You can just reach out and hit it.
So the vision is still perception. It's the happy dream. Right?
I would argue that that's not perception. I would argue that that is, what the second to last sentence say? Vision.
Vision.
And vision is not the same as perception.
Correct, Tim.
Vision is not a Holy Spirit projection.
You know, you want to twist words around, you're on the right path, Don. I'm not going to discourage you at all.
No, I'm not trying to be. I'm sure I like to be clever, but really what I want is the truth.
Yes, that is true. Vision is perceiving with the Holy Spirit. You got it.
And the Holy Spirit is not the end all be all. The Holy Spirit is a transitional state.
Very good, Tim. The Holy Spirit is there as a translator from wrong to right, just like a miracle is only dealing with problems. So the Holy Spirit only has a job as long as you have unholy thoughts.
And when you get to God is, there's no longer a need for a Holy Spirit actor.
You got wrong perception, ego, right perception with the help of the Holy Spirit, and then one perception, which is just one-mindedness. There's no longer perception at all.
There is hope of progress yet.
Yes, there is. You definitely
have. There's guarantee.
Jacqueline, what do you got?
It's a guarantee.
I like that better.
Talk loud.
Jump in, Jacqueline.
Sorry, Jacqueline.
I know. Guys rule.
No. That's a world.
Well, I think you kind of answered it, Andrew. So first of all, when when you said projection makes perception, I just felt like I was shown that it was one. I don't know. Somehow I was told projection perception is one. I don't know why that came to me. It just made sense to me in the moment somehow.
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay. And then I was thinking, well, projection is only with the ego. So there probably is no, I'm wondering, there's no projection with the Holy Spirit.
That's correct.
Okay. Because I was trying to kind of get some understanding around that.
Thank you, Jacqueline. Thank you. Because these words really matter. These words, projection, perception, these words are like running programs in a computer. And A Course in Miracles is written like, you know, correct computer code. You want to run them with right orientation. You want to learn what Jesus means by projection, what Jesus means by projection. This is not a wasted short sentence. Projection makes, it's a complete teaching. Now, I love the way you pursued that, Jacqueline. This is why I'm with Don. I'm kind of letting him get away with a little bit there because, boy, the guy's on a roll. I don't want to slow him down, you know, with my linguistic prescriptivism. But that's right. That's right. Projection makes perception. They deal with the same world of duality.
Cause effect.
You got it, gal. Projection is out there. Go ahead, Jacqueline.
I apologize, Don, for my comment.
It's okay. I love you.
Oh, that's a good fix.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do.
That's worth it.
I appreciate that. and I appreciate what you said, too, because, and what Andrew then said, you know, really, I just want the truth. And I acknowledge you like to be clever, but I care more about being truthful.
Yeah, and that, in beauty of this book, though, once you get the idea right, then you'll see it written in the next paragraph and the one beyond it. And once you get the idea in the right direction, if you read something wrong, you'll say, "Well, I just read it wrong. I know what Jesus is trying to say." And then you'll see it supported over and over and over again, and you with certainty. These ideas come through and they'll heal your mind.
Yeah.
They'll heal your mind.
Yeah, I just want to get Jesus's understanding from my understanding. I want that mind.
Good. Good. Oh, great paragraph. Well, we'll come back here again and again and again to see that paragraph. It's basically you want to change your mind about the world. Don't try to change the world. How many changes can you make to an illusion and expect it to be solid? But your mind, this, goes with you wherever you go. Even beyond this body. So take care. You seek not to find love. That's what you are. But you must seek to find the barriers that you have personally placed between yourself and love. This you must do. It's a personal job, and there's lots of help for you now that you found a course. This is your job. Good, good, good.
This is not about the course. Luann, did you see the chat I sent you?
I haven't seen it yet, no.
It's personal, that's why.
Here or somewhere else?
No, right in this chat.
Okay.
I think I sent it to you.
I'll go there in a minute.
Yeah, okay.
I have a chat. It says number one on it.
Okay. Back on page 472, paragraph 4 is our task for tonight. And we just went over, reason will tell you, the only way to escape from misery is to recognize the misery, step one. And go the other way. Don't just jump into love, right? No, you have to stop your addiction. You have to put the bottle down. Put the candy down if sugar's your thing. Put the needle down. Good start. Good start. Put the attack out of your mind. Good start. Don't just go to love if you think this person deserves attack. It won't work. So very, very practical. Okay, Let me just show you a quick paragraph where he says this earlier. Keep your finger here. We're coming right back. Go to page 97. Go to page in the front of the book, 97. And look how plain, look how he was already trying to teach this 300 pages ago. He was teaching the same lesson in the front of the book. Three 397, paragraph 6. And I think we're up to Deborah. Deborah, when you get there, would you read that stark paragraph? It just says it like it is practically before you're ready to hear it. Go for it.
How else can you find joy in a joyless place except by realizing that you are not there? You cannot be anywhere God did not put you, and God created you as part of Him. That is both where you are and what you are. It is completely unalterable. It is total inclusion. You cannot change it now or ever. It is forever true. It is not a belief, but a fact. Anything that God created is as true as He is. Its truth lies only in its perfect inclusion in Him who alone is perfect. To deny this is to deny yourself and Him, since it is impossible to accept one without the other.
And now, Deborah, keep reading, but go up to paragraph 5 and read us that paragraph. You've read the answer. Now let's see what the question was. Go ahead.
The Holy Spirit begins by perceiving you as perfect. Did I misread?
No. You read perfectly. I'm just making you loop backwards.
Okay. The Holy Spirit begins by perceiving you as perfect. Knowing this perfection is shared, He recognizes it in others, thus strengthening it in both.
The perfection. Please continue.
Instead of anger, this arouses love for both because it establishes inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Perceiving equality, the Holy Spirit perceives equal needs.
Mm-hmm.
This invites atonement automatically because atonement is the one need in this world that is universal. To perceive yourself this way is the only way in which you can find happiness in the world.
And then read that sentence again, just for emphasis.
To perceive yourself this way is the only way in which you can find happiness in the world. That is because it is the acknowledgement that you are not in this world, for the world is unhappy.
From Jesus' perspective, having transcended the world, He says, oh, the world's essentially unhappy. It's kind of how it's designed. Did you know a football game, people pay a lot of money to see it, and people get a lot of money to play it, and then billions of dollars go into building a place to play it, and yet what's the goal? You hit each other. Carrying a piece of leather one side of the field to the other. It's basically unhappy. Get all banged up. Funny that. Welcome to the world. Not a sin. Just got to recognize what you're actually doing. And then it suddenly all starts to make sense.
Andrew?
Yeah.
This is important to me because I had been a big sports fanatic in the past.
Okay.
Not so much generally speaking, but still, like, my current thing is the Warriors. So I've been telling myself there's a way to watch the Warriors play basketball and with kind of the Holy Spirit on my shoulder, so to speak. Like seeing God there or God's love there, even though it's obviously a war. They're called the Warriors.
It's a war.
It's a war. And I guess I'm wondering, you know, like in yoga, you know, Yogananda, which he advises his students to like avoid that kind of thing, you know, movies and nonfiction and all that kind of stuff. That's not so much the way in Course in Miracles.
Right.
You know, it's not about stuff in the world. So
Course in Miracles actually says you can know, you have to stop denying the world as you start seeing the world as it actually is. You have to do that. Since you're the author of it, and you've been denying what you made. You need to see what you made. And this is the way to start the healing. Ross, so, that's exactly what you're doing.
So would it be at some point, I would say probably perhaps as I evolve or that I just won't have a desire perhaps to watch that. I don't know.
No, it's not that you lose your desire. It's that you would lose any idea of loss.
Yes. I've been aiming at watching it, rooting for the performance. Rooting
there you
for
go.
That each individual's kind of incredible gift that they are offering, that, you know, and I don't know, grace, if you will.
Yes.
So yeah, I have moved to that, like considering it that way, you know.
Yes.
I still do want Warriors to win. So it's still there, you know, that, yeah, you can be really great, the Celtics.
It's always kind of disturbing that you'd have them dropping on a knee and praying to God that their side could win, because it means may our side win and the other guys lose miserably. Maybe even to the level they have to commit suicide, I don't care, as long as my side wins. I mean, that's what you're saying, right? You're praying to God that your side wins. You're praying to God their side loses.
And God,
what?
And God help you win, too.
Where's the love? Yeah, God help us win. But don't help those guys win. They don't have to hurt them. Just don't help them.
That's right.
Is that what you're praying for? I know, it's kind of funny.
Okay.
And then, Tim, yeah, go ahead, Tim.
How else do you find joy in a joyless place except by realizing that you're not there?
Yes.
I heard Ross say that about 3 weeks ago, right? And he laughed.
Yes. Yeah.
So, but
I was just about to ask you to read that sentence before we leave the page.
Sure. That paragraph again? Or
just that sentence, number six, sentence
how
one.
How else can you find joy in a joyless place?
Yeah.
Except by realizing that you're not there.
Except by realizing you're not, you are not there.
You are not there.
You think you are there.
Right. So I performed a thought experiment. This is how I like to think about it. I was one with God. God is dot, 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 an extension. And then some part of me, some mad part, said, I wonder what it would be like to try to exist without awareness of God. With separation from, what would that world be like?
Mm-hmm.
Twink.
Yeah.
There we are.
How okay? powerful.
This is what it's
yeah.
like.
Yeah.
And all the different hell realms and their different intensities and illusions. And then, by the way, I pretended to throw away the key just to make it even that much more realistic in my thought experiment.
Boy, you had to bite. You had to really get realistic, yeah.
Well, you got it right, yeah. So, I mean, all right, I'm tired of this thought experiment now.
Prove it. Prove it.
And get that. Give me something I can control. Isn't that it with the ego?
With the ego, yeah, right.
Yeah, I give you something I can control.
And the bite is
what a mess I made in control.
And it continues to be a mess right up to the time you die.
Mm-hmm.
You don't control a damn thing right up to the moment you don't control your lifespan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's don't control, don't control, don't control, and then
that's right.
Told you, God, you know, here I go.
Can't wait to meet you. It's been hell.
Yeah. This is you coming to get me. Thank you for killing me now so that we can be together. You know, it's like,
if you letting me live hurt this much, what's it going to be like to have you received me in heaven? Russ, what do you got?
So how about this for a forgiveness tool, Tim? I'm sure you've all heard it before, but it's not that I have no impure thoughts, but that I have no impure thoughts that I keep.
Yes.
So if I go into depression, if I yell at the guy in traffic, if my relationship's going south, you know, and I'm feeling like, oh, God, it's my fault. I shouldn't have said that. Hey, all of those are impure thoughts. If I keep them, then I'm not forgiving myself.
If you keep them, you're going to live them. Yep. You do live your thoughts. If you keep the thoughts, you will then follow up and live the impure thoughts.
You don't have to keep it up.
No.
That's my tool for forgiving myself.
That seems useful.
Yep. Page 311, paragraph 9. Ross just quoted.
Hey, Luann keeps wanting to say something.
Forget about it.
Forget about it. That's what Luann was going to say. Hey, forget about it.
Talk, Luann. Play it on. Unmute yourself first.
You're muted.
Yeah. All right, I got you, Luann. Go ahead. Oh, you got yourself back on.
I just was going to say that all of you answered the question I was wondering about.
Bravo. Bravo. Okay, we got a few minutes left. Let's go back and finish up paragraph 4 on page 472. Wow, I can't believe we're on 472.
I've been with you for 5 or 6 years now. I can't believe we're only on 472. I started when we were on 445 or 46.
Well, we'll not let any good paragraph go wasted in this group.
That's true.
Okay, so go the other way, right? That's what we just read. We read it on 97, and he means it. Here we are 300 pages later. He's saying, look, you got to go the other way. And the next sentence that Tim just read for us reminded us is that, you think that you're in the miserable situation. Your ego is in the miserable situation, and it's designed itself to get there, Tim. There is a you that is not your ego. It is this that was before, and this what that finishes, and the in-between is the ego. You, on stage of Dr. Timothy Day, have become too involved with the character. Let the role go for an hour or two here and there.
Yeah.
Return to peace. Return to your eternal nature, my friend. Eternal nature. It's not sad. Yeah. You should take a break because, no, you still have to play the husband part and the Tim Day. You got to play the whole life, okay? You're not giving that up. This doesn't look like it. So every once in a while, take a break.
Go inward.
Go inward and go to peace. And you said it. You started to dance with that. The physical approach, which is no space and no time. You have the ability to deeply look at that. This is one of the doors that you can walk through, Tim. As a quick meditation for you is what would it be like to not have time? Or a quick meditation for anybody, but for you, Tim, might be, where is here? Everybody look out in your room, okay? And just look at something. You see a clock or a vase or that pile of gold bullion in the corner you've been storing during the pandemic. Just look at something in your room. And do you see where it is? Do you see it? It's approximately so many feet away from you. It's kind of not more left or more right than it is. It is exactly where you see it. Is that true? Yep. It's right there. Now, go the other way. Where are you? You see, that is very specific, isn't it? That object you saw. Its height, its weight, its position in space is very specific. But in meditation, I would invite you to now go inward and try to see yourself as specifically, to locate you. You will not be able to do that, because you, that you actually are, is not so specific, is it, Jason? Good. Quick meditation for you, Tim, will just break you right out of miserable thoughts. I mean, you'll just fall out, I think. Okay, we have just a few more minutes not to do what we're going to do. Paragraph 4 on 472. I just want you to see a few more things, a little more of the fine print in here. Okay, so first I'll explain this crazy sentence. Truth is the same and misery is the same, right? It's, of course, what it's saying there is that all truth is true. It all has the same quality. All truth is true. But on the other side of the coin, all misery is the same. All misery, great or small, is misery. All of it is the same. Hangnail really hurts, right? You have one of those hangnail digs into your toe. Every time you take a step, it's like, ow, 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 right? Hangnail or thorn in your foot, ow. Or nuclear war. So sad. Lives lost. Each has the ability to ruin your day. Each has the ability to ruin your day. Truth is the same. Illusion is the same. Okay. Okay. But they're different from each other in every way. Oh, thank goodness. How clear is this? I love it. He's really helping you distinguish truth from illusion and the quality of truth. To believe that one exception exists is to confuse what is the same with what is different. Truth is true. And when you feel the truth, it feels one way. When you feel illusion, it feels the other way. And thank God there's a contrast there. Now, fine print, folks. One illusion cherished and defended against the truth makes all the truth meaningless. Ouch.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you're so addicted to the things that you hate. You're so addicted to the things that you hate. Meaning that you hate them and it feels right. It's kind of getting love and hate backwards, isn't it? The Course says in one spot, it says, isn't it? I mean, honestly, he says, isn't it easier for you to say I hate than I love? Mm-hmm. He's like, he's busting you. So it is an all or nothing game that we're playing. We're learning how to love thoroughly all the time and to see love everywhere. It takes vision, though, and that's what the rest of the paragraph is about. Such is the power of belief. It cannot compromise. And faith in innocence. It's faith in sin if the belief excludes one living thing that holds it out and from its forgiveness. So our job is to go from wrong thinking to right thinking, where with the Holy Spirit, anything that gives you contraction or unhappiness is translated back to peace, back to a whole perspective. It feels different. It looks different, but you don't use your body's eyes. You have to go into the Holy Spirit and have it translated in your mind. And then slowly by surely, love returns to your awareness. Even as your eyes look out on destruction and disaster or divorce papers, if that's what it comes to. You must not give up on the truth of what you are and what you came for. What you came for is not what you ended up with. You are from love. It's from what you were created, and it has been your only design all along. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for studying Course in Miracles with me. We'll pick it up again next week. There's lots of good stuff coming. And have a good week in the meantime.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, Kenny. Thank you, Don. Good night. Thank you, Deborah.
Thank you, all. Thank you, you are, and for contributing to my wellness.
Yeah, thanks for showing up, Tim.
Absolutely.
I do appreciate that, you know, when people show up.
It's a good thing we do for each other. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.